I'm not going to preach every message in this meeting, so relax. But I have a comment to make of sitting there thinking. Flew all the way out here yesterday from New Orleans. My wife's in Oklahoma. I don't know what kind of sin a person could commit on an airplane, kind of crowded and so forth. But my testimony is I didn't commit any. And I'm saved and I'm sanctified. It's 5:15 back in Louisiana. And there's a whole congregation full of people there that are going to be meeting in another couple of hours. And they're going to be praying for this meeting, and they're going to be praying for me. So I can shout if I want to. Praise the Lord. I've got something to shout about. And I don't really have a mind to preach to us today. But I notice that there's quite a few children in the building. You ever have a service that's mostly for children? My mother told me when my children were small and I was kind of getting after them temp meeting because they were getting rowdy. She said, "You ever go to a meeting and the preacher wasn't very anointed?" I said, "Yes." Said, "How did you feel?" "So I was bored and restless." She said, "Every meeting's like that to the children. They don't get out of it what you do, and it's pretty brutal for you to expect them to sit there and act like they're enjoying it." Well, we can have some services, though, that touch the children, can't we? So, I suppose most of you are here because your parents made you be here. But sit up a little farther. Come sit up toward the front of you, children, if you don't mind. And we're going to talk to you a little bit this afternoon. Maybe we'll call this more a study than a preaching service. Thank you. That's very cooperative, isn't it? Appreciate it. Children, how old do you have to be to get saved? Are any of you saved? How old do you have to be to get saved? Well, we won't restrict it just to the children. Some of you older folks want to comment about that?
I like to say when I was 6 years old, I wasn't raised with the saints.
And you were?
I was 6 years old, I went out and stole something. When I got saved 20 years later, I had to go back and return it.
The Lord didn't forget that, did he? Just because you were only 6 years old.
And I wasn't raised with the saints.
Did everybody hear what Brother Reed said? All right.
I was 9 years old.
Someone got saved at 9 years old.
When I was 13, my family broke up and I lost the Lord. But he didn't lose me. He stayed with me all those years. For many, many years.
Thank the Lord.
I was married to a Methodist man and I was in the Methodist church with him for years and years until he died. We went there and he fell with him 46 years when he died away. But I always felt the Lord was telling me to come back to the Lord, come back to the Lord. So I came back.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
I went to the church and came to my husband and came back to the Lord. And now I'm satisfied and happy. So I was always confused and always, I never was satisfied. And eventually I was trying to teach them about the Church of God. But I was trying to teach them all along.
Thank the Lord.
I'm so thankful that I've come back to the Lord and living for Him every day all holy life. I just thank and praise Him every day.
Thank the Lord. You children, listen to me. This is not especially a better way of living because we teach it. It's better because it's the truth.
Amen.
This is the truth that we have in the Bible and that we preach in our meetings. Now, when you grow up, it's going to be more contested than it has been during my lifetime, most likely. But it's still right. It'll still get you to heaven. It's been tried many times. So here's sister said she got saved when she was 9 years old. How old do you have to be to get saved?
I was seven.
7 years old.
Point of understanding.
Pardon?
When you understand that you need the Lord, that's how old you have to be.
When you're old enough to understand.
That's right.
We'll call this discourse a lesson to children for the sake of the tape. In the 19th chapter of Matthew, Jesus talks about it. I say He's the authority. We'll go by what He has to say. And what Jesus said here is quoted in the other Gospels. 19 and 14, whoever has that, read it for me, please.
But Jesus says, suffer little children and...
Suffer what kind?
Little children.
So, we can't fix an exact time, but the Lord said little, didn't He?
Yes.
And He was calling them to Himself. All right?
And forbid them not
okay.
to come unto Me, for such is the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you. Now, 7 years old. Thank the Lord. Well, thank the Lord for the life He's given you. Brother Chandler told me that he got saved when he was 9 years old and never backslid. That's quite a thing, isn't it? So, there's some of you older than that, aren't you? You're old enough to be saved and make it all the rest of the way. I don't think 9 years old is old enough to make a... 6 years old? Thank you for correcting me. 6 years old, all right? I don't think 6 years old is old enough for a child to decide what their career is going to be. You have to grow up some more and learn more about life before you know whether you want to be a fireman or a truck driver or whatever you want to be, computer operator. But the Lord doesn't look at that like we do. At 6 years old, if the Lord talks to your heart, you can know whether or not what you're doing is right. And if you will humble yourself, be willing to do the right, the Lord will save you. And if you get saved when you're 6 years old, you're probably going to make some mistakes. And you have some things to ask the Lord to forgive you for, but He's real good at that. And if you'll be faithful, the Lord will be faithful to you, and He'll make a career for you. That's pretty important, isn't it? Yeah. You children, do your Sunday school teachers talk to you about the age of accountability? Any of you ever? I see somebody shaking their head, two or three shaking their heads here. No. What is the age of accountability? Randy, what is the age of accountability?
21.
21? Well, that's kind of what the law says for some things. Anybody else comment? Brother Darrell put his finger on it a little bit ago. We say it.
Sister Dallas mentioned that understanding, when you know right from wrong.
Understanding, when you know right from wrong?
Yes.
Well, what is that?
That takes some defining, doesn't it? Yes, ma'am. God first talks to your heart and you want to do something about it. But, and I accept that. But it's a little bit generic. Because when John the Baptist was in his mother's womb, and Elizabeth and Mary came together, the babe leaped for joy in the womb. You know, so I don't think he got saved then. Go ahead. Pardon? Yes, it is.
When God talks to you, you move.
Yeah, thank the Lord. But I think God talks to children before they really get to the age of accountability. But there's a difference in what he's saying to them. That's the distinction, isn't it? That, I'm not conflicting what you said. Just needs a little more defining. There's a difference in what he's saying. What is it? Oh, yes. The devil talks to children, too, doesn't he? Does the devil ever talk to you, children? Yes. God talks to children, too, doesn't he? But there's a difference. When the age of accountability arrives, there's a difference. And the difference is that the Lord makes you know that you've done wrong and you need to be forgiven. And you need to quit it. And that is the time when a child can really repent and get saved. And that's different with every child, isn't it? And in the world we're living in today, it seems like it comes faster than it used to. So you see, children, when I grew up out in the country, and there was nobody there much but my dad and my mother and my brother and sisters. And about the meanest thing I could do was throw rocks at the cows or something like that. You know, but now there's lots of things for little children to get into. And they're finding out about wickedness a whole lot faster than my generation did. So there are some children that stay real innocent till 10, 11 years old or more, depending on where they live and what their maturity is. And some children, the Lord deals with them because they're surrounded with wickedness a whole lot faster. Well, let's talk a little about the age of accountability. I used to think it was like this, like a mesa. You're going along like a child, a flat, level line. And then the big day comes. This is the day of accountability. And the Lord speaks to you. You were very innocent. This innocent down here. The Lord speaks to you. Bam, you're clear up here. You're accountable. You're accountable. That's the way I used to think about it. But I've learned that life is not like that. The age of accountability, as I understand it, is more like this. It's like a curve. There's a point where the Lord starts dealing with every one of us. The dealing that He does there is really built on to what He's been doing with you before you got to that level. But it's saying today is the day when you're accountable. You know the difference between right and wrong. And the farther you go in life, the more you learn about it. And the responsibility increases for all of us. It's a gradual thing with experience. But here's the part that is important, or surprising, maybe. There's a peak. I used to think, some old people let me down. And I used to hold them for that. You know, they got old. They don't teach like they used to. They don't see everything just like they used to. And I wanted them to stay the same. 100 years old, still as active as they were when they were 50. But that's not reasonable, is it? What happens is that as people grow older, their natural faculties diminish. They don't understand as much. Now I'll demonstrate that. How many of you folks who are over 70 frequently use the internet? Or even know what the internet is? The time of your greatest strength was in another generation. And the greatest part of your accountability lies to what you understood about right and wrong in that generation.
And as a person's natural ability deteriorates, actually, what the Lord requires of them declines too. Now, I learned that. And I haven't offered you any scripture for it, but I learned it. And it caused me to be more tolerant with people, more understanding, to learn that the Lord requires according to light, to understanding. And that varies with different people at different times. So, children, if I would say to you, or suppose we just have an altar call for children, and a bunch of you come up here and say, this really, I really want to live for Jesus. So we'd all come around and pray with you, and then we'd say, now we want you, the Lord wants you to go home and do something for Him. What would you do? If when this service was over, you were going to go do something for Jesus, what would you do? Any of you children have any idea? Wouldn't be much use having an altar call for children, would it? None of them would know what to do after he left. Any children an explanation? What would you do? I expect your parents can offer some suggestions. If you wanted to go do something for Jesus and the meeting was over, what would you do? All right. How many of you have rooms at home? Is your room clean? Is it? How did it get clean? You cleaned it up? Is there anybody whose room is... You kind of have to hang your head when I ask this question. Your room's not clean? Did you know that Jesus wants you to keep your room neat without your mother having to punish you for not doing it? Do you make your bed when you get up in the morning? There we go. That's good. But I just see one hand. How many of you make your beds when you get up in the morning? Good, Randy. What about washing dishes? When I was a child, my mother used to assign dishwashing. There were several of us in the family, and each one of us had our time. And one of us would have to wash and one of us would have to dry, my sister and I. And we would fight over who got to wash and who got to dry. Did you ever do that sort of thing in your family? They put them all in the dishwasher? Who has to load the dishwasher? What did he say? Well, suppose... I'm going to suggest something to you for as children. But now this will be worth remembering. This will guide you for the rest of your life. It's a principle. Suppose that it wasn't your turn to vacuum or to wash the dishes or to take out the trash or something, and you went home and shocked your brother or sister and just volunteered to do it anyway when it was their turn. Did you know the Lord would bless you for doing that? That's a good habit to get in life. You believe me? If you don't believe me, try it and see if you don't feel better after you do that than before. There's another scripture in Proverbs that says, even a child is known by his doings. And you know why that's there? Because all the time, children, you are making decisions about the kind of person that you're going to be. And there are some children that are selfish. Yeah, I've got two ice cream cones and will not share. I let one of them melt and run down my hand before I'd offer one to somebody else. There's children like that. And don't you know the other children in your area know if you're that kind of child? There are children that, if they got a sack of candy, give away every piece of it. Generous. Which one are you? And which one would you rather be? Now, Jesus is not here in the flesh. He probably wouldn't need an ice cream cone if he was here. He's not here in the flesh. And you probably will never in your life have a chance to give Jesus a piece of candy or an ice cream cone or to wash his feet. But he said, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. And children,
This begins when you're small. If you start making a practice of being generous, of being good to your brothers and sisters, to your mother and dad, to other children when you go to meeting, it'll carry on through life. Anybody know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is? Any of you children know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is? He's a great, big, strong man. He's an actor now, but he used to be a weightlifter. Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger's story is that he was in the Austrian army. He was in the army. And fellows in the army are closely disciplined. They're supposed to be somewhere at a certain time. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He sneaked off and went down to the gym for the exercise. They started lifting weights. And his commanding officer found out about it. And he said, "You like to lift weights? We'll give you a chance to lift lots of weights." So they assigned Arnold Schwarzenegger to go to the gym every day and lift weights all day long. They were trying to punish him. But he did it so long, he got to be vastly stronger than anybody else. Now, I know that's true because I used to go to the prison and preach to the guys there, and that's what they do. They don't have anything else to do, but they do have a weight room, and they lift weights, and you don't ever want to get in a fight with any of those guys because they're very strong. Any policeman can tell you that. They work out all the time. Did you know the same thing will happen to you if you start practicing doing right? Even when you're small, it builds those traits in you. How many of you in school? Do you go to school? Why do you go to school? Because your mother makes you go, I know. But why do you go to school? Why do you go to school, son?
So you can
learn. Why?
So you can learn.
So you can learn. Why do you need to learn?
To go through life better.
Go through life better. Absolutely right. If this light breaks, the cord's in a break, can you fix it? No?
Yeah.
Can you? Can you, if this microphone breaks, can you fix it?
No?
You could learn, couldn't you? You can't do it now, but you could learn, right? But the only way to learn is for somebody to teach you, and you have to keep practicing all the time. Now, how old are you when you start school? Five years old, kindergarten? What's wrong with starting to learn how to do good for Jesus by that same time? You're learning how skills to use in life in school, and they're concentrated. They spend a lot of time teaching you math, English, literature, and biology about bugs and worms and things. The Lord wants to teach you from the time you're little children how to serve Him. Do you want to say something? All right, what is it? I'm sorry, didn't
you?
See animals? Okay. The Lord wants to teach you from the time you're little children how to do good in your life. The scripture that I quoted to you a while ago says, even a child is known by his doings. If you children let yourselves be careless, sloppy, indifferent, you'll grow up to be that way.
That's right.
It's a whole lot harder to change those habits when you're grown than it is to change it when you're small.
That's right.
Now, did any of you ever do any exercise? Any of you, anybody here lift weights? Or run races? Run laps? If you ran 20 times around this building, how would your legs feel? They'd be sore the next day, wouldn't they? Well, if you start to work on yourself to make yourself be a better child, it'll make you sore too. It takes some effort. It's hard. Well, the teachers tell you this, and they mean it in a different way, and I'm going to tell you too. You can be anything you want to be. You can be as generous as you want to be. You can be as obedient to your parents as you want to be. You can feel the Lord's blessing just as much as you want to feel it, but you have to be the one who makes the choice. And your mother and dad can't do it for you. See, what happens with children is they keep growing up. And one of these days you get big enough so mother and dad can't shield you from the wickedness that's in the world anymore. You alone can do that for yourself.
And you do that by learning now to be good, to be kind, to be gentle, and to treat other people nice. And those will be a part of you. And when you grow bigger, it'll be natural for you to do the right thing, and the Lord will bless you for it. And it leads to a good life. Am I not right, parents? You can look at a child, can't you, and say that child's got trouble in their future by the way they're acting. Well, what if they're saying about you, children? What if they're saying that about you, son? Saying, when that boy grows up, you know, I don't know. You can change it, can't you? You can change it. I don't think they're saying that about you, but if they are, you can change it, can't you? Even a child is known by his doings. Anyone else want to say something?
Sharing
allowances. How many of you get an allowance? Any of you? Some of you do. That's money that your parents give you. That's the same idea with whatever you've got. I had a member of my family. She was the youngest, so maybe that made her this way. You did not want to borrow money from her. Or anything. If she loans you a piece of candy, you're going to pay back 5 pieces of candy. She never forgot it. Whatever you borrowed from her, she never forgot it. If you borrowed $1 from her, it was going to cost you $5, and she'd remind you of it, too. Every time the allowance was handed out, only get a quarter at a time. You remember that dollar you owe me? You should start paying on that right now. Well, any of you like that? If your brother or sister does borrow from you, then they ought to pay you back. That's true. But it's a good idea to be generous with everything that the Lord gives us. And there's 2 sides to that coin. I knew a couple of sisters. If one of them bought a new skirt or a new blouse, the other one thought she bought her one too. Go and get it out of her closet and wear it and never say a word. Just take it, it's mine. My daughter had a skateboard. My son was always interested in mechanical things, so he decided her skateboard didn't work like it should. And he got his tools and took it apart and scattered the ball bearings all over the house. Do you children ever do things like that? Well, he wasn't being mean, but one of my daughters had some tapes, some music that she shouldn't have had, and she hid them from my wife and me. But she went to the altar and got saved. And so my son said, well, he wanted to help her stay saved, so he went in her room and got the tapes and took them out on the railroad track and shot them full of bullet holes. And she was furious because they were hers. She wasn't that consecrated yet. Well, I don't want to disturb the reverence of the service, but I'm trying to speak to children. The Lord wants you to be kind with one another. You know. And 5, 6 years old, we talked about being able to pray at that age. I'll tell you something. When you're 5 years old, you're old enough that the things you're doing then, you will probably remember the rest of your life. Probably everybody here can remember things that happened to them when they were 5 years old. And if you were cruel to somebody when you're 5 years old, you remember it. Brother Reed said when he was 6 years old, he stole something, and when he was 20 years old, the Lord required him, go and pay it back. It'll make it right. You're going to go to heaven. Don't steal, children. Learn to be good. Let me ask you this. I know that you children are here because your families want to serve the Lord. And you want to do that too, don't you? You want to do what's right. Let me ask you to make a purpose while we're here in our service this afternoon. That when we leave, you will do something to change your life. Make yourself a better person. A resolution before the Lord. I don't know whether any things we've talked about are things that you need to change. Some people need to be more generous. Some people need to be more kind. Not talk back. Some children are rebellious. Don't want anybody to tell them what to do. Sass their mother and dad. Whatever it is, why don't you tell the Lord Jesus that you'd like Him to forgive you if you've been doing those things, and ask Him to give you the grace not to, and make the Lord a promise that you'll not be that way anymore. How's that sound to you? And you're supposed to have a sister's meeting in just a few minutes, so I wouldn't really call this a message. It's just a little talk to the children.